We'll see if we can get through some of this anyway. All right, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21. The call to mortification. Verse 21. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word and thankful for the blessings tonight. And we pray, Father, that you would continue to just work out blessings in our lives as we continue to be out there sowing good seeds, doing good things, that the blessings would be coming and coming and coming. And so we thank you for each one. Father, we do look at your word tonight, and we do know that the truth is in Jesus, as he is truth. And so we just looking forward to what you have for us tonight. And I pray, Father, that you would be glorified in all that's said and done, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we have the call to mortification. We are to die daily to our old nature and live unto our new nature in Christ. And we'll be seeing this in verses 21 through 32. The foundation, we are to put off the lifestyle of the old nature and put on the new nature. Not supposed to continue living with the old nature all the time, right? We're supposed to put that off, put the new nature on. We're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Don't live like you used to live. Live like you're supposed to live now, right? A new creature in Christ Jesus. Unfortunately, we've got many who want to go back to the old ways for some reason after a while, and it should be no surprise to us. The Bible tells us in the last days there will be a falling away that saved people going back to the old ways. Shouldn't surprise us, but it seems to be that more and more people are doing that. They're going back to the old ways. The Bible asks, when he returns, will he find faith? Will he find faith? I believe he will. I believe there's going to be those that are going to continue in the faith regardless. They're not going to go back to the old ways. We are to reject a life corrupted and controlled by self-deceiving fleshly desires. We'll see that in verses 21 through 22. And then as we read verse 21, as the truth is in Jesus, the truth about salvation leads to the fullness of truth about God, man, creation, history, life, purpose, relationships, heaven, hell, judgment, and everything else that is truly important. Jesus is the truth, and we can find all that we need to know in the Word of God. You can go to the Christian bookstore and, misnomer by the way, you can go to the Christian bookstore and there's section after section self-help books, right? Does this say we're supposed to rely on self? The Word of God says, no, don't trust in yourself. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Right? We're supposed to lean on God. We're supposed to trust in Him and Him alone. Unfortunately, many of God's people decide, no, we need to trust in self, or we need to trust in somebody else, some other human being. Folks, they're just as fallible as you are. Why do I need to go to the self-help section and find a book written by man to try and help me out of my troubles, when all I have to do is go to the Word of God, and God says all I have to do is go to Him? We need to not rely on self. We not to rely on others. We need to rely only in God. John summed this all up in 1 John 5:20. First John 5:20 says, "And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and that we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Jesus is the truth. Jesus cannot lie because he is truth. No matter what people think, Jesus is the truth. Satan's a liar. You want to follow lies? Follow Satan. You want to follow the truth? Follow God. Because he is truth. Instead of being ignorant of God's truth, a Christian has heard Christ and is taught in him. In this context, referring to the time when the readers were taught and came to believe the gospel, here called the truth, in Jesus. The gospel is the truth. Too many people are trying to water it down, change it, remove it. That's not what we need. We need more gospel. I've said as more and more churches get rid of more and more services, I've said we don't need less preaching in the last days. We need more preaching in the last days. It's by the foolishness of preaching that people get saved. We need preaching. These moments describe the moment of salvation, conversion. When a person receives Christ as Savior and Lord, he comes into God's truth. To know Jesus and believe the truth in him sets you free from the desire to sin. Well, we shouldn't have a desire to sin anymore. Our desire should be to please God. And to please him would be to be obedient to his word. And he tells us there's things that we ought not to do. I said this morning, for him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So people say, well, how do I know if it's sin or not? If you know that you're supposed to do good and you're not doing it, it's sin. I pointed that out this morning. People who just refuse to go to church, that's sin. They know they're supposed to be there. They choose not to. It's sin. Is it, well, it's sinful not to go to church? Yes. Hard to believe, right? But yes. Now again, God understands if you're sick. And I'm a firm believer, and if you're sick, please do not share. The rest of us don't want it. Get over it and come back. Not a problem. There's some people that, because of health issues, they can't come. God understands that. We understand. So you have to be, you know, realizing that. Verses 23 through 24, Christianity taught the addressees to, one, put off the old man, to renounce their pre-conversion life and sins. Get rid of those. Put them out of your life. Number two, be renewed in your mind, to be constantly changed, being brought more and more in line with God's own viewpoint. The more we spend time in God's Word, the more time we spend with God, the more we're going to have His viewpoint instead of our own. There's some things I have to tell you that I was taught in my early Christian life, but I found out after studying the Scriptures, it wasn't totally right. There's some people who bought into the gap theory. You do some studying and you find out that's not right. I'm just saying, but some people have a pretty convincing argument for some of the things that they have. You just got to know the truth so you can see around it. And not say, well, I'm just going to buy it because, well, it came from so-and-so and they're a pretty renowned preacher or something. I don't care who they are. If they're sharing false teachings, they need to be called out. We need to not follow that. There's a lot of times when I'll be listening to something and I'll go, well, that's not the right version of the Bible. Shut that off. I don't want to hear stuff that isn't true. So you need to shut it off, right? I like when people come and they sit in the back row because they have to know if something's not being right, they got to be able to leave without causing a disruption to the whole rest of the service. I said, well, I pray that's not a problem here. We're preaching and teaching the Word of God here because those of us who are doing these things know that we're held accountable before Almighty God for what we say. And we need to do that. Then number three, put on the new man, that is to assume a new nature, character, and conduct, your life, at conversion. We should not be the same that we were before we got saved. Should be a difference. And then let me add this. We should be growing closer to God every day. It shouldn't be going the opposite direction. We shouldn't be staying stagnant, but we should be closer to God as we go through this Christian life, drawing closer and closer and closer to Him. And people say, well, I'm as close as I could ever get. No, you're not. So how can you say that? Because I've read the Word of God. We're not there. Paul said he had not attained. You know, I haven't met anyone on the face of the planet like the Apostle Paul. I'm sorry, I just haven't. There's a lot of good preachers out there, don't get me wrong, but the Apostle Paul went through a lot, and he stayed steadfast, unmovable in his faith, and he said, I have not attained. In fact, he was afraid that he might be put on a shelf. If he thought it could happen to him, it could happen to anyone. Now, I'm not putting Paul above the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just saying Paul was a man after God's own heart. Then Ephesians 4:22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Put off, to strip away, as in taking off old filthy clothes. Put it off. Get rid of it. This describes repentance from sin and submission to God at the point of salvation. There are not human works required for divine salvation, but inherent elements of the divine work of salvation. Folks, we can't do anything to earn salvation, and I don't care how many people out there keep spouting that you have to. It's not true. The Bible teaches clearly that it's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, saved by grace, not by works. Paul's terms here are basically a description of repentance from sin and submission to God, so often taught as elements of regeneration. This is in contrast to the unregenerate persons who continually resist and rejects God and lives in the sphere of dominating sin, which would be the former manner of life. The Christian has heard the call to lay aside the old self. We shouldn't be walking in the old self anymore. We should die daily. It's like Paul said, I die daily. Why? Because we have this war going on. I can't say it enough. We have this war going on, and we're going to battle this. And it's whichever one you feed your flesh, or you feed your spiritual nature, the one you feed is the one that's going to win. It's that simple. If you don't want the flesh to win, quit feeding it. The old man, the worn out, useless, and unconverted sinful nature corrupted by deceit. Salvation is a spiritual union with Jesus Christ that is described as the death plus burial of the old self and the resurrection of the new self walking in newness of life. Should be. This transformation is Paul's theme in Romans chapter 6, verses 2 through 8. Romans 6, chapter 6, verse 2, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Praise the Lord, right? The flesh of man and the desires thereof is where the problem arises. The old man of flesh has to be crucified, put to death, that the man of the Spirit may live. John the Baptist said, you must be born again, and it is a true statement, a very true statement. We must be born again. In John chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, I'll read it real quick because we're at that time. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We must bury that old man of flesh and the filthy lust of the flesh and live in the Spirit if we belong to Christ. Get rid of that stuff. The gospel invitation is to lay the old self aside and repentance from sin. That includes not just sorrow about sin, but turning from sin to God. It's not being sorry you got caught, right? A lot of people are sorry they got caught. I bet you could talk to a lot of people that are convicted living in the prison system, and they'll say, I'm sorry I got caught. Right? You get your hand caught in the cookie jar, and you're sorry you got caught, right? And if you'd had just the extra couple minutes, you'd have had that cookie and had it downed, right? And thought you made a home free. Let me just tell you, it's not the same as being sorry you got caught. Sorry that you sinned at all. Because that sin was against Almighty God. There's a difference. All right, we're out of time, so we're going to stop there tonight.